podcast I listen to has a whole like jingle. Bonus episode. Bonus episode.
Well, hey, James.
Hey, Mike.
How are you today?
Doing all right.
That's good. Thanks for being here. We are together again after missing last week.
Yeah.
It was one of those weeks where...
It was March break.
That's right. It was March break. And everybody knows that podcasts get a week off to go to the Bahamas and sit on the beach.
That was your trip to the Bahamas.
It was imaginary and wonderful. So... we are going to drop an extra episode though this week, and that's going to be this one. So we'll have the normal weekly episode where we review what's going on during a Sunday morning. But I think what you and I wanted to do today was just sort of take a big view at what we're trying to do in this series and maybe dive into the concept of worldview. How these five are not necessarily the only five, but are certainly five that exist and frame our theological mind and the way we view our faith in God. And then also talk a little bit about how, even though we're going to talk about them one by one, how sometimes people experience them, you know, multiple worldviews at the same time, or can progress from one to another, which is a question I think a couple people have had. But first thoughts go to you. You know, what do you think about the concept of this series? What have you got out of it or heard so far? And how do you think we can help people through this sort of lens of reading the gospel?
Yeah. I think the idea of a lens actually is really valuable. You know, there's that old saying, you see the world through rose-colored glasses.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's a not so much to do about worldview, although it might, actually. But the idea that, you know, your worldview is the lens through which you view the world,
mm-hmm.
the relationships that you're in, the information that you take in is often filtered through that lens. And how you present information about yourself or about what you think is also, again, pressed back through that filter of worldview, of how you view things. And so, yeah, I think the concept of a lens, a filter, is actually really appropriate to worldview discussion. So, yeah.
It's been fun. I mean, I'm always a guy who tries to dig in and figure out who people are and where they came from and what makes them tick. But it's fun to do it in a really intentional way. Even on Sunday, when you look at people and you go, try to figure out why your favorite thing is your favorite thing. There's this, I said this on the podcast with Rachel a few weeks ago and got a couple of emails about it. And I think I said something to the effect of, most people around their 30s or their mid 30s sort of stop listening to new music. And they're kind of in on what they're in on, and they don't listen to a lot of music. And I got a couple of emails from people that say, like, I still listen to new music, but I only got a couple. And right. And that's not to say that everybody that thought that way would email me. I'm just saying the reason that that's the case is because that music locks you in usually to a time and a space where your experiences influence the way that you think, and you like to get back there, and like music brings you back there.
I'm
wondering if through this series what we're going to be able to do is bring people back to a place, one, maybe where they met Jesus in the first place and identify that, but two, to bring them to the place that they are now and see how their current worldview is affecting even the way that they continue to grow in their faith.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I like that. You know, taking people back to, you know, where they first met Jesus, and how Jesus spoke into their life in that worldview or that context, and then bring them forward to where are you now and how are you viewing the world now, and help show them that Jesus meets you there too. You didn't leave him behind in the previous you know, way of seeing the world, but he actually has relevant things to say about how you see the world today. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important, not just for us as individual Christians. It's really important for us as the church, and it's really important for us as part of a culture to know that, you know, Jesus still speaks into what's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the gospel message is about it's about this redemption in all these different areas. And so God is still redeeming even our society today and mm-hmm. our culture today and our relationships today and our community today.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I like how you say that. It's his redemption in all of these different areas.
Mm.
I don't know why, but it seems like there are times where we focus on one or two of the areas as opposed to multiple. And those are the ones we hammer home, we hammer home, we hammer home. And I think when we do that, we leave a large group of people out.
Mm.
I don't know. And I think the goal of this series just to try to catch as many people as we can where they're at, because people are in different places mm. And are experiencing life different and thus are experiencing or hearing about God differently.
Yeah, I think there's this dynamic of, you know, once we've resolved, you know, each of these worldviews sort of addresses one of the major questions that we deal with in life. And once we've sort of resolved one of those, we move on to the next. You know, if you've learned, you know, grade 5 arithmetic, you know, you're not going to go back to that in grade 12 mm-hmm. because you've already learned it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You sort of leave it behind you. It's part of who you are. It informs what you're doing in grade 12, but you don't go back and do the math of grade 5. And I think we have a tendency to do that when it comes to the big questions and spiritual matters. And, you know, if we've resolved the tension of, let's say, a conflict vindication worldview, we move on to another expression of the gospel and how does it fit now? But we forget sometimes that just because we've resolved it doesn't mean that the 30 or 40 people sitting next to us have resolved it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we still need to, it's not like math. We actually do need to go back
yeah.
and address it and work with it for the benefit of our fellow believers. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a fruitful process. You go back and you're not going to go, you know, God, that, again, that scripture that says God's word never returns empty. You're going to go back and reevaluate a worldview that you felt like you resolved, and you're going to deal with it through the lens of the gospel, and you're going to discover things that you already like you didn't know or maybe you forgot, but it's going to be an enriching experience for you and your faith.
Mm-hmm. Having been in youth ministry for as long as I was, the sort of practical manifestation of this that I saw in relationships was when inevitably a 15-year-old would break up with their first-time girlfriend or boyfriend. And, you know, they had been dating forever,
yeah.
which was usually like 2.5 months. And they were, you know, in it,
yeah.
invested, and then it was all over. And their world was falling apart. Mm. And you could always tell the leaders or the people around them that were thinking about them as opposed to just solving their problem.
Mm.
Because people that were trying to solve their problem would say something like, well, you know, you're young, there's lots of opportunities, there's lots of fish in the sea, whatever it is. Mm. But people that were actually looking at the kid would go, oh, like, how is that making you feel? And why are you so upset? And what is this? And what we sometimes forget, especially people that have, if you're married or you have kids or whatever, that 15-year-old, that breakup is the most emotionally charged thing that they've ever gone through up until this point.
Mm.
So like you're seeing somebody at the high point of their capacity for like emotional disorganization. And yeah. what you're looking at them and going is like, ah, it'll be fine. And they're like, and you know, once you've gone through a few breakups or you've gotten married or you've had a big fight and then you've gone like your emotional capacity grows.
Yeah.
But right now, like when for that 15-year-old, like that moment stretched that capacity.
Yeah.
And we need to remember that not everybody is in the same place that we are. Yeah. And we need to be able to slow down and identify how these things are different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that idea of perspective.
It's very important.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And humility as it is. We've got five worldviews that we're going through in this series. There are likely more than five worldviews, and there are probably more than five even theologically, but in the book that Paul Jones wrote, Theological Worlds, and for the sake of this conversation, I think these five catch most of them. Mm-hmm. We've already covered two, separation and reunion, the concept that we belong, conflict and vindication, that people are like looking for justice, emptiness and fulfillment, people that want to feel like they have a purpose, condemnation and forgiveness, the idea that we're all made in God's image, and then suffering and endurance, which is this idea that we have a future. Just as a whole, how do you feel about these five? I know we've only gone through two so far. Have you seen yourself in any one of these before? When you saw the five initially, did you kind of look and go, you know, that makes sense, or something's missing? What was your sort of first brush at these five worldviews and this concept?
Yeah, I think, you know, I had a couple of thoughts coming out of even the first week when you introduced the topic. You know, the first thought was, you know, sort of an agreement that everyone has one of these worldviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, where I'm at is probably the lens that I sort of see the world through most clearly is this one of suffering and endurance.
Mm.
And I think that that hasn't always been the case for me. And I think that leads into another thought that I had, that these worldviews that we have change over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as I said before, I think each one of these worldviews sort of addresses a question, and if we've resolved that question, we move on to one of the other ones. And they're not in any sequential order, so there's not like a right, you know, process to go through
them. Right.
Yeah. But for me, the way that I frame a lot of my understanding and how I see the world is in this lens of, you know, I have a future home. And whatever I'm, you know, experiencing or enduring in life today is, you know, is part of the process of getting to that home. And that perspective, again, helps me manage, you know, whatever I'm dealing with. So, yeah, everybody has a worldview. There's no particular order through which to go. And these worldviews resolve important questions for us,
mm-hmm.
of which there, as you said, there's probably more, but I think these are some of the big ones.
So there's a couple things in there to follow up with. The first one is somebody came up to me this week after the service and said, hey, I've got a question. I feel like I'm more than one of these worldviews. Mm. How would you approach that if somebody said, hey, I feel like I'm actually dealing with more than one of these things at a time?
Yeah, I think that's perfectly normal. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you have to be stuck in one of these worldviews. I think that often we juggle multiple worldviews as we now, like you might have one worldview that dominates in your work life.
Mm-hmm.
You might have another one that dominates in your personal life, mm-hmm. and how you see, you know, in your family. And so I think there is an element of, depending on your context, again, what's the major question that you're trying to address, and which worldview is the one that's going to help you navigate that. So I would say, yeah, that's perfectly normal and, mm-hmm. and fine, and yeah.
And, you know, that was basically my answer, right? Mm-hmm. You usually have a tendency towards one, but that doesn't mean they're all. I think the insightful thing that you just said that I hadn't thought of was that different contexts in which you're living might bring different mm-hmm. ones out. It's the idea of, you know, you see the person who finds a lot of value in work, and so they put in overtime almost intentionally to make sure they don't end up going home where they might feel like they don't know where they fit.
Mm.
Or, you know, knock out five or six other examples in different instances. But the fact that you could be dealing with different ones in different places is interesting. And then I wonder how they all come together at church,
mm-hmm.
right? Where you can actually sit in all five of these and go, I feel like my heart should be breaking for all of them.
Mm.
But one of the things that when I was first introduced to this book and the concept, it was actually at a youth conference. And so this person was giving the talk through the lens of like kids in a youth ministry. And one of the examples that the person gave was there was a gospel message given. And then a bunch of these kids went back to their small group. And one of the kids went, I feel like I'm supposed to feel bad about what I just heard, but I don't. Now, aside from that being a very honest answer from a teenager going, look at, I understand that the way that was just framed was supposed to make me feel a certain way, but I don't feel that certain way. And I think there's a lot of people that if you ran into, you'd sit and go, well, you should feel bad. So there must be something wrong with you. But this leader instead, identifying that these things existed, went, okay, how can we reframe this in such a way that maybe you'll understand what they were talking about? And then this bore this whole new conversation that was incredible. Just because this person heard the message from a different lens. I just think it's interesting that we have a responsibility to spread the word, but we don't have a responsibility necessarily to spread it just the way we've heard it or we know how. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before or run into that. I'm sure there must be a couple of times where you've talked to people about your faith and you felt really impassioned about what you said and it just seemed like it just rolled off their back.
I mean, I'm sure that that's a common experience for most people. And I think, you know, one of the things that pops into my head, you know, Jesus saying, those who have ears, let them listen, you know, let them hear. And I think part of that is, you know, this conversation. If you're communicating, you know, the gospel in a certain way, but the person you're communicating the gospel to is, you know, listening with a different set of ears, you know, a different set of a different worldview or a different way of looking at the world, it is going to just sort of roll off them. And so I think it's, you know, it's important to remember that each of these worldviews is valuable. And I think the evidence of that is that the gospel does speak to each of these worldviews very directly. And so, you know, don't get discouraged or dismiss someone else's worldview. And like you say, try to force your own worldview or your own interpretation of the gospel on that person and say, no, you have to see the world this way because that's the way I see it. And no, but actually acknowledge that the way they see the world is not wrong. It's valid, but the gospel still speaks to it. So there's a bit of a shift there in thinking.
And then one of the other things you just said was sometimes our worldviews change because we resolve one and go to another one. Can you expand on that concept, on that idea?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think you can come to a place, for instance, you know, the question of belonging, right? You might be, you know, working through the world and seeing the world as through the lens of, I don't feel like I belong anywhere. And then you encounter the gospel, and the gospel says, no, you do belong. You belong to God's family, and you're made for relationship with God. And so you get to a place where you accept that knowledge. You know, you take it into who you are, and now you're no longer worried about, where do I belong? But now you might be struggling with, well, what's my purpose? You know, I know where I belong, but now what's my purpose, right? And so you start digging into the gospel a different way. And you know, how does that speak into, you know, what God has made me for? So yeah, I think that's, you could think of other examples, but yeah, you live in one until you've sort of answered that question, and then it leads you into another place of, and I think that's, again, it speaks to this idea that, you know, we're never fully there, we're never fully arrived, you know, that we know all the answers and we've fixed all the problems in ourselves, and so you know, we always have to keep learning and growing and letting the gospel, you know, redeem us in all these different ways.
Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting too, that you go, maybe you jump from one to the other. It's you answer a question. And that's not to say that you've closed the book on that entire chapter of your life, mm-hmm. but when you answer a question, then you go on to the next one. And sometimes one question brings you back and forth. But I wonder if it would help people to sit and go, you know, what has my faith progression looked like? What are the big questions that I've answered and how have I answered them? Or have I been able to answer these things in a way that has made me settle down? Right. Mm. And there are some of these that are going to be easier for some people than others. And there's some that are just a little bit easier or more black and white conceptually. Right. The idea that, you know, we have a future, we're made in God's image. Those are more things that we, as we learn and grow as people, we almost just need to accept those things as realities of our life. And those are things that you need to sit down and accept the fact that God made you with a purpose or that you're here with intention. Whereas, you know, injustice in the world will likely never be buttoned up and solved. And so that's going to be a continuing narrative through the course of your entire life and through history. And how you see injustice might make you sad or it might make you angry, but it's going to cycle. And it's just a little different than the other ones. Some of them almost require you to do a little bit more inner work, whereas others require you to work outside.
Yeah. I find every time there's a, you know, a war or a famine or some major catastrophe, I'm forced to go back and look at that conflict vindication worldview and try to make sense of, you know, where is justice? And that's an area where, you know, again, I feel like for me in my journey, that question's been answered for me. But when those things happen, I have to go back and sort of check my math, check my work. And you know, that's just part, I think, of living and getting through some of these things is, you know, you have to take the time to live in those answers that you have and let them grow and let them expand and let them be tweaked through the experiences that you have as well. So,
All right, final thoughts on this before we wrap up. What are one or two things that you think people should be looking for or thinking about throughout the series, questions people should be asking themselves, or something that you hope people learn or get out of it?
Yeah, I think it might be a fruitful exercise, you know, just within yourself to sort of be asking that question each week. Like, what is the major question in life, you know, the big questions that we all struggle with, that this one speaks to? I think if you can sort of pick that out, now it might be telegraphed a little bit, depending on Mike's slides, but but if you can sort of, you know, figure that out on your own even, and I think that can really help you to process the information and see how the gospel applies. So, yeah.
I was driving in thinking about this question, and I was thinking about this question as a concept for a sermon or for a series, but I was thinking about it because of this one. And I was wondering, like, if you thought about, you know, the one or two times that you've been the most upset about something in your whole life, what were those times? And what I would be curious to know is whether or not that time was something that happened to you or something that happened to somebody else. And how that frames perhaps the way that you see things and what you're working on, right? If the most upset you've ever been or the most upset you've ever been lately is because somebody did something to you or something bad happened to you, that might shade towards a certain worldview and a question that you have. Whereas if the most upset you've gotten lately about something that happened to somebody else, that also might shape the way you're seeing the world right now. And I wouldn't sit and shame somebody and go, well, if you're most upset about something that happened to you, you're only thinking about yourself. Because maybe you are. Maybe that's actually the hump. But I think that would be a fun question for people to say, you know, what are the things that make me the most upset? Is it when I get cut off in traffic or when I watch somebody else get cut off in traffic? Is it when somebody says something mean to me or when somebody says something mean to somebody I love? Which one of those things really trigger you? Again, it's like it's not a perfect way to go about this, but it might actually give a little bit of insight into, you know, are you struggling with justice or are you struggling with belonging? Are you struggling with God's image in somebody else or purpose for yourself? There's tons of different ways to parse that. I'm just trying to think of ways to get people to practically go, how do I find myself in this framework? And I would think that most people, as we go through all five, are going to go, yeah, I think that one's me. A few less people last week, separation and reunion, especially in a church context. I think a lot of most people that are in a church are usually Christians, which means a lot of people have that one, at least like intellectually. But this week I was getting a lot of nods.
I think that's an important point. Some of these worldviews and how the gospel addresses them, we get it. We get it intellectually, but it's taking that head knowledge and moving it to your heart. And the big one, I think you're right, the big one in our culture today is the second one. And in churches, the first one, we probably, you know, we've got a good handle on that, probably a couple of the other ones too. But this is the disconnect for our culture. And so it's the disconnect for us because we want to relate to our culture and we want to speak, you know, the gospel into our culture, and this is the one that they're struggling with the most.
It's going to be fun to dive into the other three. It lined up really well. I didn't shift his worldviews around in order, and condemnation and forgiveness, dealing with sin, happens to fall on Good Friday, which is great. And suffering and endurance and the concept that we have a bright future falls on Easter. So it was really cool when we sort of looked at the five and went, oh, actually, that's going to work. And so we're really excited to not only go through the other three, but have them to line up with sort of the time of year in the calendar. So, well, thanks, James, for doing this bonus episode. We are very...
We're calling it bonus? I thought it was just late.
Oh, no. This episode isn't late. This is a bonus episode because we're going to get two in the same
week. Are we going to get some special bumper music for the bonus episode? What are we going to do to really sell this?
We're going to need help put out a Facebook ad. No. Yeah, now I will take that as a personal challenge. And I'm going to find something that is bonus worthy. All right. Well, stay tuned for our regularly scheduled episode, which will also come out this week. And I believe we will have a special guest on that's joining us for that one. So until then, James, I won't ask you what you're doing on later this week. I will ask you in 20 minutes when we start filming the next episode. Until then,
20 minutes to think about.
We'll move some furniture around. We'll add a chair, and I'll see you right back here in a few minutes.
Awesome.
All right. See you later.
Take care.